Now, more of the Canucks Central pregame show. Taking you up to puck drop on the official home of the Canucks. Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yes, that is the goal horn brought to you by Rewind Beer Company. Find your big West Coast IPA at a liquor store near you and celebrate big plays in a big way.
It is Satyr Shah with Dan Riccio on Sportsnet 650, and it is the Canucks Central pregame show. And we have a goal in the Colorado Avalanche-Winnipeg Jets game. The Winnipeg Jets have made it 4-3, getting a goal from Adam Lowry, assisted by local boy Brendan Dillon. What a game between the Jets and the Avalanche so far. Reach 4-3 in favor of the Jets, and we're only in the second period, so a lot more fireworks are yet to come, it seems.
Yeah, it was total chaos in the first, and a lot of the goals, you know, forced mistakes, offensive zone turnovers from a heavy forecheck from both teams. So, you know, the staples of playoff hockey live strong. Get in hard on the forecheck, force your opponent into making a mistake. Jets are 35-0 this season when scoring at least four goals. So that should be a recipe, but the way this has gone, there's no way four goals is going to be at least enough in this one. They might need another before the night is done.
Yeah, they certainly might. All right, keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, 650-650. We'll get to more of your comments as the show goes on. But it's time to welcome in the general manager for your Vancouver Canucks, Patrick Alvin, joining us here on the pregame show. And Patrick, thanks for making time for us, as always. I mean, for yourself, you know, you guys have gone through this incredible season. And this team has had their third best regular season in franchise history, winning over 50 games. Fans are super excited. How do you handle the nerves on the first day of the postseason for your club?
Thanks, guys, for having me on here. We're definitely excited for the next chapter here, turning the page from the regular season and getting ready here for game one in a couple of, an hour and a half, I guess. The guys have prepared themselves. Quick turnaround from the game in Winnipeg, but they are all fired up and excited and ready to go here.
Did you take any time to appreciate the accomplishment yourself? I mean, we're pretty much not that long ago where, you know, this is pretty significant turnaround. It's a bit of a 180. You're going to be up in line for a Jim Gregory Award, it seems like, with the way that you've turned around this team. I mean, how does it feel being the guy that pulled the strings to get the Canucks back to this spot?
Well, I'm very fortunate to be to get the opportunity to be the general manager for Vancouver Canucks, and this is a lot of people have chipped in, but basically it's the players and the coaches have done a tremendous job. Give the players and the leadership group all the credit for putting themselves in a position to play a home game in the playoffs here today.
What surprised you in a positive way the most about your group this season?
Again, for me, when I came in here, it was to become a team. We had a lot of good individual players, but I didn't feel that we would play as a team. And I think that's something that we emphasized on right away. And Rick Tocchet and his coaching staff did a really good job implementing the structure and the system and the belief from the players. And once you have that, then the trust factor comes in and forming that partnership that the players and coach are working together. And when you do, when the individual success comes from team success, and I think that once the players felt that they had the trust from the coaches and they believed in the way we wanted to play, it was easier to come to the rink every day and work hard and be dialed in and taking the next step here.
Well, I mean, we've seen the way this team plays develop quite a bit since you've been here, right? We always knew, especially at the top of the roster, there was the ability to score, but playing on all sides of the puck has been of the utmost importance under Rick Tocchet. And I wonder, from your perspective, how much of the style of play, the way your team now plays, you know, do you see it as translatable to the postseason and having the potential for success in the postseason?
I believe so. I believe when you have a foundation laid, you again, that comes into the belief. You know, when we have those individual different makers that can be that different maker in a specific game. When we have that along with our, in our trust in our system, I believe this team earned every inch of the season, and they earned to be here in the postseason. I believe we have a core and a leadership group here that is as good as anyone else, and just to see how they come together, as I said, as a team and playing for each other and demanding more out of each other too. I think those are the key ingredients for a team to be successful here in the postseason.
Yeah, and we look forward to watching this team hopefully be successful here at the playoffs, this being game one. And as far as, you know, how the roster has come together, you guys made that big trade acquiring Elias Lindholm, and he didn't have the best start, getting injured as well, but he did return. He's now picked up 5 points in his last six games, a bit of a run here before the season ended, looking really good with Connor Garland and Dakota Joshua. Do you feel like we're finally seeing the player you guys acquired at the trade deadline, before the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think Elias has settled in, and again, he's a really, really good two-way player, and gives the coaching staff more depth in the middle to have JT, PD, Lindholm, and Teddy Bluger, the four centers there, that gives him the option to have different matchups, and I think Lindholm has been... to your point, he's been playing really well here the last 5-6 games since he got back after his injury, and definitely give us different options up front and more depth as well there.
How does that strength through the middle of the ice, how does that help you? Does it give you an advantage over your opponent here in this first round?
I think so. I believe most of the good teams, they have a really strong middle. I think that's where we felt at the point when we were looking to improve our team and looking to see what our options were. Venice always talk about his puzzle and getting, you know, the balance lines, and we felt that with the acquiring of Lindholm, they will give us a more flexibility on, as I said, coming down to the postseason here, where you see more matchups that now you have those four centers that can handle the other lines, top teams, and maybe free up some scoring from some of the other lines there. So I think that was important for us, again, to set us up for the postseason.
Well, there's no secret, obviously, that if you want to have success in the postseason, you need your best players to be your best players, and the other Elias is Pettersson. And his game, of course, this year, he still had a good regular season. Towards the second half, wasn't quite at the level that we saw in the first half of the season. How do you feel about his game heading into the playoffs?
I think I'm excited about it. I think Elias has matured a lot in his game. That I would to defend him a little bit here, that he's played with a lot of different wingers and a different line combination here in the second part. But I do think, again, the growth in his two-way game and the details in his game, I think that's where you see the good players sacrifice some of their own individual points for the team points, and I think Elias have done that, and I'm very excited here for him to get an opportunity to play in front of the fans here at Rogers, and we all know what he's capable of, and he's one of those guys that I mentioned early on here that has the potential to be that difference maker in a game.
Stylistically, this is a very interesting first round. You know, you guys had shown and proven to be one of the better defensive teams in the league over the course of the season. Nashville, as they got hot near the end, they were a high-octane offense. They really like to push the pace and be aggressive on the offensive side of the puck. This is kind of the fun part of the playoffs is how a series develops and how you can find each and every weakness in your opponent.
Absolutely. And I think that's where coaching staff have done a good job preparing the team for. We played three times against Nashville, as you mentioned early on there, and I think they've been really strong here since the All-Star game. They got some key pieces on their team in the goalie, Saros, top defenseman, Josie, that's been around here for a long time and been, you know, gone deep in the playoffs, where played in the finals for Nashville. And you have McDonough winning a cup in Tampa, and then, you know, their first line with Ryan O'Reilly, Forsberg, and Nyquist has been one of the top lines in the league. So they're a really, really fast team. They played really well. I've been impressed with Nashville, their depth. But they, well coached by Andrew Burnett, and this should be a good series.
Well, there's so many, you're right, there's so many great players on both teams, especially at the high end of each position as well. But you don't often talk about a matchup between two teams really coming down to the two best players and both being defensemen. Quinn Hughes, who of course has been tremendous this year up for the Norris, and Roman Josi, similar conversation, also could be up for the Norris this season. How big is that matchup to ensure that, you know, we know how Quinn loves to rise to a challenge and how he embraces it. How excited are you to see how these two defensemen go head-to-head in this series?
Oh, that's a great should be a great matchup here, and as you said, I mean, this is a great opportunity for younger players, and Quinn, one of them, taking their game to another level and gaining the respect in the league. And again, the consistency from Quinn this year and maturity off the ice, I know that he's been. He's been craving playoffs here for a couple of years, and I'm excited to see him thrive here in the playoffs and playing against Roman Josi with his experience, his 200th game, and he's an impressive player as well. So, as I said, there's a lot of good hockey players, and that's the reason why the two teams here and all of the teams in the playoffs are playoff teams, because they have those individual players that make the game exciting.
Now, as an organization, you made the decision to put the captaincy on Quinn at the start of this season, and you know, we could see how the habits and the standards has risen along with that. What did you see from Quinn as he embraced having the C on his jersey here in Vancouver?
Obviously, I as a staff, we were discussing when Rick Tocchet came in here, we wanted to name a captain, and watching Quinn grow on the ice and off the ice and talking to him, spending time talking to him, meeting his parents, we felt that this was a great opportunity for him. And he, as you said, he's just embraced this season, the maturity level. What I've seen since I got into Vancouver 2.5 years ago to where we are now, I'm not surprised that he's a top defenseman in the league, and I just see every day how he's craving for more, how he prepares himself, how he wants to get better, how he communicates and trusts Adam Foote and Sergei Gonchar to help him, and that's something I'm very pleased with.
Right before or at the end of the season, you guys signed Vasily Podkolzin to a 2-year contract extension. And obviously, he's taken a step coming back in the lineup here with the team playing down the stretch. What have you seen in his game to want to make that commitment to him before the season ended here?
I think it's hard for all the young players to be thrown into the National Hockey League, because National Hockey League is not a development league. And we had to take a step back with Vasily, and obviously it's tough for anyone who played in the National Hockey League to start over in the American Hockey League, but we felt that in order for him to be long-term successful with the Vancouver Canucks, we need to take a step back in order to take two steps forward, and I think he responded really well. And again, the trust from the players to the coaches in Abbotsford, working with Daniel and Hendrik Sedin in Abbotsford and working with them up here in Vancouver, have made Vasily a better player. We still believe that there is another level for him to come as well, and he's still young, and we want to continue to work with him, and we believe that he definitely has the potential to be a impactful young player and important player for us within the next couple of years here to come.
As far as any other pending free agents or contract talks off until the end of the season?
Yeah, we want the players to focus here on the playoffs, so we're not talking any contract extensions during the playoffs.
And Patrick, a final one before we let you go. First day of the playoffs, are you more nervous? Are you more excited? Like, what do you go through on your first game day for a postseason game?
I'm definitely excited. Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous too.
It's a good nervous.
You know, but yeah, exactly. But I think this is you know, you're driving in here to Rogers and you see all the fans walking with the jerseys. This is playoff weather outside, so it's a great feeling and the excitement and very happy for the fans that have supported the team this year and ever since I got in. And watching the fans how they supported Abbotsford in the playoffs last year was really impressive. And so I'm excited. I'm really excited for to get the goal there.
Hey, Patrick, listen, we always appreciate your time. Congratulations on a fantastic season. Best of luck in the playoffs, and we're all hoping for a nice long run here.
Great. I'm with you guys. Thanks.
You got it. That is Canucks General Manager Patrick Alvin here on the Canucks Central pregame show. Getting you set for Canucks and Preds. Game one, round one from Rogers Arena. Puck drop coming up just after 7. We have more of the pregame coming up after 6 o'clock as well. But the general manager, like most Canucks fans, excited, also a little bit nervous, hopeful, yet, you know, you have the good butterflies ahead of a playoff game.
Good butterflies, yeah. We'll see how they feel, if they're still good butterflies, if maybe the Canucks take an early deficit in this game. You know, playoffs, the riding of the emotions, it's always so wild. And, you know, if you lose game one, it's not the end of the world, but it might feel like it. So just know that, you know, there's another game to come after tonight and still plenty of time to get yourself back into the series, no matter what happens tonight for the Vancouver Canucks or Nashville Predators.
Yeah, and the focus now becomes fully on the postseason. And he answered your question about contract discussions with other players now that Podkolzin signed and the season's come to an end, the regular season. He said, yeah, those are being shelved. The focus is on the playoffs now. And people are saying, is that actually good for the players? Can they sacrifice their bodies if they don't have a contract? Well, they're playing for a contract, whether it's here or elsewhere. Yeah. And if you want to get paid, you have to show in the postseason. So I think the motivation to sacrifice isn't just about Vancouver. If you want to go somewhere else, like if you're Dakota Joshua or that wants a big payday, for instance, whether it's Vancouver paying you or not, for that type of player, he has to show in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's not to say he has to go out there and score a bunch of goals, but he has to be an imposing figure. And if he's not, well, a team looking at him in the free agent market, are they going to give him what he wants? If they're like, he had a good regular season, but he wasn't quite the same impact player in the playoffs, how comfortable are we giving him a longer-term extension? So it really becomes, there's a lot of motivation here for those guys individually, whether it's showing Vancouver or other teams. So I understand, and this is pretty much par for the course here generally in the playoffs. Now, sometimes you'll see things get done if there's an extended break between series sometimes and things can change. But generally speaking, most teams, once they get into the playoffs, contracts talks get shelved until after their playoff run ends.
There's just so much more eyeballs on you in the playoffs. The intensity is heightened, and every front office knows, you know, guys that can play in the playoffs, ultimately that's what they want to add to their team. So any one of the pending unrestricted free agents on the Canucks roster, Nikita Zadorov, Elias Lindholm, you know, the potential gain for them to show well in the playoffs far outweighs anything else that they've proven up until now. You want that big contract. Showing well in the playoffs is the best way to get that big contract.
Absolutely. And I think the motivation will be there for Canucks players. But, you know, the coach obviously does feel good about his team's chances based on what you mentioned, having that edge, at least on paper, down the middle, of course. You know, as good as Ryan O'Reilly is and Tommy Novak's been. And hey, listen, we've been talking a lot this week that Colton Sissons had 15 goals. He's not a real slouch there as a third line center. McCarron's been fantastic playing down the middle for them on the fourth line. They're not bad down the middle.
Yeah.
But the Canucks should have the edge down the middle with Pettersson, Miller, and Elias Lindholm. And it's really
Canucks have three all-stars through the middle of the ice.
Yeah, and they have to play through. So if they play through a level, you have the advantage. Now, they have to play to that level for that advantage to come through here. But you do feel good about it on paper, matchup-wise, down the middle. And usually that's where playoff games get won. It's the spine of your team, down the middle, and your defense. And we know the Canucks, at their best, are strong with those four centermen, Bluger being on the fourth line. But also, I think that defense with those trees on the back end with Zadorov, Myers, Cole, and Soucy, I mean, that makes it really hard to play through if they all play at their top level.
I'm curious to see how that looks here in the playoffs. Zadorov, he's been pretty consistent about showing his mean streak since coming over from the Calgary Flames, and he's been amping it up as we've gotten closer to the end of the season. But Myers, like, you don't generally see Myers be as physically imposing as you would expect a man of his size to be on a regular basis during the regular season. I think we've seen it amp up a little bit, but the most physical we've seen Myers be was in the playoff bubble. And yeah, he got himself into trouble taking too many minor penalties, as we remember in that St. Louis Blues series. But if he's able to walk that line and be able to level up his physicality, that's going to make life even tougher for Nashville. And, you know, you're gonna force them into making a decision. Am I going to wilt away from some of the pain I need to inflict here in order to get to the front of the net? Or am I just going to turn away and maybe stay on the perimeter so I don't have to take the physical beating that might be waiting for me from 57 or 91 or even number 7.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's going to be really fascinating is the matchup game here. The Canucks have last change. They can dictate however they want. So in terms of their deployment, that will be interesting. But also, are they going to use Elias Lindholm in not a strictly matchup role, but is he going to be the guy that you would prefer out there against Ryan O'Reilly, Gustav Nyquist, and Philip Forsberg? And if that is the matchup, and he ends up, say, even breaking even against those guys, that should, in theory, give you a pretty big advantage with Pettersson and JT Miller with their lines going up against the other three lines the Preds have to offer.
I do wonder, because I think there's still a chance that you give that opportunity or that assignment to JT Miller.
Mm-hmm.
He has embraced that. He craves it. He's had a lot of success with it this year, quite frankly. And, you know, that line as a whole, Besser, Miller, and Suter as a top line, they've had a lot of success. They've been really good defensively. You know, one of the best parts about Suter's game. Yeah, I don't know if you'd call him your typical first line left wing, but you know, one thing we have seen out of him all season long is just how smart he is positionally on the ice, how good of a stick he has, some of the good traits he has defensively. And I think, you know, the Canucks have multiple lines that could line up as a shutdown line.
They do. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they handle those things. And I may have a preference. We'll see how the coach goes about these sort of things. But also, it also comes down to how you play your game. And I think, ideally, the coach's vision is having this team be a team that can just run the four lines. He's referred to Vegas being that team last year where it didn't matter which line was out there. You weren't worried about it. And each line was able to go up against anybody and hold their own or win that matchup. In theory, down the middle, they could have that.
Yeah.
The question just is, how does it actually flow in the game and in the game flow?
Well, it's going to be fascinating to see. So much to break down with this matchup. Can't wait to get into our pregame, our official pregame, with the network joined across the province.
Yeah, and we'll get to the pregame roundtable with Batch and Randy, plus Yannick Hansen is going to join us as you're listening to the Canucks Central pregame show brought to you by Playing Out Sports, BC's safe and secure betting site, plus Matt Leo join us, and that and more on Sportsnet 650.